Hello and welcome to the Entertainment Earth Toy of the Week podcast. I'm your host, Adam Paulus, with you as always, and probably at least for the next few weeks, talking about yet more Star Wars toys. This week we have the newest, as of right now, wave of Star Wars Legacy action figures. These include characters from Return of the Jedi and a bonus Ugnit, which I believe is how it is pronounced. They are, or rather, were in stock at Entertainment Earth. They sold out, and then we got more, and then they sold out. So if you want some, I recommend you put a pre-order in right now, because they're pretty cool. Also, if you want a tip from me to you, I recommend getting the Wave 9 Revision 1 case, because that is the one that has the bonus Ugnit figure on it, plus all 8 Return of the Jedi guys. So if you're only going to get one, get this one. Anyway, let's get started. First, there are 2 Build-A-Droid action figures in this wave. The first one is, I believe they renamed it to R3-M3. You might know it as R3-01. It's a blue astromech droid with a clear dome. It's very bright blue, looks very good. They retooled the body, the neck area, to have new electronic components, and the dome is slightly different than previously used. Excuse me, R2 domes. It's sort of clear. It's really kind of smoky and hazy, so it isn't really clear enough, I would say. But it looks really good, and this character was originally on the Death Star in the original Star Wars. I am very excited to have this figure. I've been doing it for the past 3 years. When I started a different project and I was looking at all the astromech droids, I saw this one. I'm like, wow, I hope they do that. And here it is. So I would recommend making sure you get R301. He is joined by R5-C7, a droid from Tatooine in Attack of the Clones. It is mostly a white body with purple pearlescent highlights and a couple of green markings on the legs. And it's R5-D4 in new colors. The eyes are silver with little red dots in the middle, which looks really cool. And the back of the figure has probably more paint than the front. It's all these purple panels with little green circles in the back, some silver. It looks really good, but it's the exact same mold as the R5 Build-A-Droids you're used to. So maybe you'll be bored by it. Maybe you'll love it. I think it's really great. It's I don't know where it's going to go yet in my toy collection, but I do like it a lot. That's it for the Build-A-Droids. Now, those are each technically free, I guess. Every 4 figures you buy, you get parts to build a droid, and then these are what you can make. But you probably know that by now. If you don't, welcome to Star Wars Collecting. Where have you been for the last year? Anyway, let's get on to the actual new figures in the wave. Luke Skywalker. Okay, this one had more than a little bit of controversy over the last few years because, for whatever reason, Hasbro is hell-bent on not making a perfect Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker action figure from the Death Star sequence, anyway. As you know, in Return of the Jedi, the movie starts out, he's wearing a cloak and a vest. And he still has that vest on for most of the movie. But he does take it off when he goes up into the Death Star, and that is what this figure is based on. The figure has an interchangeable chest flap, which is kind of a first for Star Wars figures. You can unplug it, and you can have it so the little flap on his torso is open or closed. He is essentially super articulated. He has a ball-jointed waist, which is unusual for Star Wars non-trooper action figures. The head sculpt is a recolored version of the one from the 2007 Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker, which actually is a huge improvement. And the hands are new, and that's pretty much it. The belt isn't exactly perfect, and a lot of fans are observing that, shall we say, on the forums. He includes a lightsaber, has a great range of motion, but his barrel chest is a little ridiculous. The shoulders are more broad than the waist by a little bit. So he does look heroic, but a little goofy. And his legs are well-engineered, but they are posed in such a way where I think it looks a little strange. But it's a good but not great figure. It includes a lightsaber, handcuffs, the interchangeable torso flap. It's going to sell really well, and they're probably going to go back and do another one in a few years. For whatever reason, the head sculpt on Luke's are never really perfect. And as a toy, he's pretty good because he can actually sit. As a toy, he's also kind of bad because I'm convinced every kid who gets this is going to lose the chest flap and he's going to walk around with a giant hole in his breathing area. So, up to you. It's still essentially based on the same body as last year's Sandstorm Luke and the 2007 Jedi Luke with that new ball-jointed torso and the interchangeable part. Next up, we have Slave Leia, which also has interchangeable parts, but I think it's going to be a lot more palatable to many of you. From the waist down, she can separate. And she has one set of legs, which are tucked behind her, sitting on a pillow for Jabba's palace. And the other set of legs are super articulated and can stand up. The cloth skirt dress piece is removable if you separate her at the waist. And she also has a little belt piece that's removable. She has a ball joint at the waist, super articulated arms and legs and head and all that stuff. And the likeness is pretty good. The coloring isn't bad on the face. The eyes are nicely done. The lipstick might be just a smidgen too dark, but really, eh, who cares? She has a pole weapon and a glass for Jabba the Hutt. And she's pretty great. I am mostly impressed. I wish you could tuck in the cloth a little bit, or they reined it in a little bit, because you can't quite make it look like they posed it on the previous figures, because it kind of goes out if they had it. So I don't even know anything about sewing or clothes, so it's just sort of like, if they could bunch it up a little bit and stick it between her legs, it would look better. That's going to sound weird, right? I'm right, right? It does sound weird. And she has a partial chain around her neck. It only goes down to the top of her top, so it's not a very big one. But this is the best Slave Leia Hasbro has yet produced. She is much shorter than previous Slave Leias, so you don't have to worry about the crazy height factor. And I like the fact that she has a variant legs. Although, like with the Luke, I'm a little surprised Hasbro just didn't double dip and make two different figures instead of making one figure with variant parts. But good on them for saving us a couple of dollars. Or good on them for finding a way to make us buy two. Take your pick. The Ewoks are next. They are Noapik and Paplu. Paplu you know and love. They've made Paplus since 1984. The first Paplu was a reasonably hard to get, unless you lived in Arizona, action figure that had dark brown fur and a light tan hood. This one also has dark brown fur and a light tan hood, but he also has a knife sheath and a really cool staff. Noapik has never been made before. He is colored similarly to the vintage Lumat action figure. He has no removable weapons, but he does have a removable hood. And a pretty cool three-pronged spear. I think this is the first three-pronged spear I've seen almost anywhere. It's pretty neat. Both figures use existing Ewok bodies with new heads, new hoods. The coloring is really good. I don't really like the expression on Paplu's face. The grimace looks kind of angry. But Noapik looks kind of like he's got a little furry mustache, and that's kind of cool. I'm also a sucker for Ewoks, which you probably figured out by now. So I'm pretty happy they made both of these. The value is definitely there. The retail's $8 to $8.50. You will get your money's worth if you like Ewoks, and to do. And yeah, I'd say pick them up, because this Paplu is nice, because he doesn't have to be on the back of a speeder bike to look good. The last Ewok of Paplu Hasbro made was around 2001 for a Toys R Us exclusive. Next we have Ninum or Ninum or whatever you want to call him. I think he was Ninum on the Kenner commercials, which is why I pronounced it that way. The figure is arguably not the figure they tell you it is, and this is something I'll probably argue with people about till the end of time. Because many years ago, I saw pictures in a book called Star Wars Chronicles of a character called Tennum, and that is a similar character, but it was a white viewing suit. And I was told by people at Lucasfilm that the white suit represents a prototype costume, an unfinished, unused costume in the movie, if you will. So the red costume was the correct one, and that's the figure you see in the movie. That's not the dude with the vest. It's a different character entirely. It's Tennum. And but anyway, they took the evolution's Bewing Celestian, that's the same species as Ninum. I'm talking too much, pilot, and they made it red. It's a super articulated figure. It's got all kinds of hoses, a removable helmet, a blaster. It's very well done. It's also very tall, so depending on your opinion on the Celestian height factor, you will be unhappy with this figure. I think it's great, but I am easy to please on a lot of these guys, unless you read the comments on the Figure of the Day column I wrote today, and I recommend you don't do that. But it's a good figure, worth picking up, but if you've been buying all the Evolutions B-Wing fighter pilot figures, you basically have this one. Next we have, and I can't believe this, Malakili the Rancor Keeper. I was stunned. I could not believe it, but here it is. The figure is much shorter than his 1997 Power of the Force release. He has a removable hat still and a Force pike, and is super articulated, which is way more than you would expect for a Rancor Keeper that didn't sell well last time. The sculpt is similar, but improved. There's certain little quirks in the facial expression they seem to have carried forward, and the coloring is a little bit more subtle on this one, but still, you're basically looking at a remake of one of the worst-selling Star Wars figures of all time. So I hope they don't make too many of them, because really, who wanted another Rancor Keeper? Certainly not me. But that's only a half-truth, because I didn't want that Rancor Keeper. The one I wanted was Garon, and that's the next figure, and he's perfect. Garon was the guy that ran out and consoled Malakili in Return of the Jedi when he started crying when the Rancor was crushed by the gate because Luke Skywalker threw a skull at it. So this is pretty sweet. The figure, I got it in front of me right now, is one of the best figures Hasbro has ever done. And I don't use that lightly. It's super articulated. He has a removable hood. The face sculpt has so much detail and painted detail. There's these little horns. You can see all these scales on him. The paint style brings out all of this. The armor is painted in such a way that I can't even describe it. It's like brown with silver and gray, and it's all mixed together, and it looks almost like something you can reach out and feel in the real world. The folds on the pants are excellent. The articulation on the legs is so well hidden, you probably don't even realize it's super articulated. Like, when I first looked at it, I just assumed they were normal legs. But even if you turn it around, they hid those joints almost perfectly. Hasbro did a fantastic job here. He includes a Force Pike weapon, or whatever these things called. It's the standard Skiff Guard weapon. It seems to be a new sculpt. It looks really good. And if you only buy one figure from this wave, get a Garon. He looks perfect. And I love Return of the Jedi Aliens too, so I'm just stoked they did the figure. And the fact that they did him as arguably Hasbro's best figure yet, that's just fantastic. I can't complain at all. Next we have Major Pano. He's a new member of the Prune Face, or Dressel species. He has a little message capsule that goes into his cloth robes. He has a blaster, and he has binoculars. The figure is pretty good. Again, super articulated. He has something that looks kind of like Stormtrooper armor on his chest. He can be posed in a variety of ways. And according to Hasbro, his legs were designed with future Rebel Troopers in mind, which is kind of nice. The figure has a uniquely shaped cloth hood, because he's got a head like a giant peanut, and it can go over just fine. I haven't quite figured out what to do with the goggles yet. I really don't know, because they don't fit on his head quite right, and they don't fit around his neck quite right. So what do you do with them? Right now, they're staying in the tackle box. I like the little straps on the cloak, though. It's really well done. And the figure has sort of strange eyes, because they painted them with this metallic paint that, depending on the angle you look at the figure's head, it looks like his eyes move, and it's really creepy. They're very nicely done, though, and this is a really good figure as far as toy engineering, because he can stand just fine, he can sit pretty well, all those joints, the gun's pretty big, he's thin, which is good. A lot of figures have a little bit too much bulk on them, but I like it. Whether or not you like it will depend on how useful you find more Rebel Commandos, and I think they're pretty useful, so enjoy. Finally, we have, yes, finally, the Nikto Gunner. The character's name, according to the customizable card game, is Nysad, N-Y-S-A-D. It's just Nikto Gunner on the card back, and the figure represents a very plain closed outfit figure with a removable helmet, blaster holster, and a lot of straps. It's super articulated, but there's these straps on his legs that you can just twist around for some reason. They don't do anything, they just move. And the bandoliers on his torso are a separate mold, not molded to it like the bandoliers on the shoulders and the waist region. I don't understand. I mean, for me, that's almost like one of the most annoying questions I have. Why did you make these separate pieces? It looks better to have them as separate pieces, but it's inconsistent with the rest of the figure, so it's like, why? But anyway, it's neat. The figure's Nikto skin is a little darker brown than other Nikto figures in the past. The expression on his face is great. All the detail on the helmet is great. I like the horns a lot. Comes with a clip-on sail barge cannon, which you might say, that means they're making a sail barge! No, they're not making a sail barge. But the clip-on sail barge cannon, what Hasbro didn't tell you, or me, or anyone, is this is actually designed to fit perfectly on the Tatooine Skiff vehicle. So if you have the one from 1994, 1999, or 2008, it fits right on the side railing, and the Nikto figure can hold it, and you can take pot shots at anyone you'd like. So it's a very well-designed accessory. You can hold it just fine with both hands if you don't have anything to clip it to. And, yeah, that's the wave. That's 10 new figures. Well, actually, it's 11 new figures because of the Ewoks. It's really great. But there's also more. In the revision wave only right now, which means there's a much lower quantity of them being produced as far as I can tell, is the Variant Ugnit figure. The first version of this figure came out last spring in the Empire Strikes Back wave, which you can hear a review of on an older podcast. It has the same computer console accessory. It has the same little white lunchbox body accessory, and it uses the same body. It has a new head, new coloring, and a new lower shirt piece. Like, so from the waist down, the gray parts of the figure are a new sculpt. It looks basically like a new figure. And it looks very different from the other Ugnit figures, because if you look at the ones from 1998, which I just happen to have right here, the similarly tusked figure wears an apron and a very long smock thing. And this one doesn't have that. It's just a figure in a jacket with pants. It's nothing special. It looks really cool. It's great to flesh out your Ugnit crowd scenes. I can't see any reason why any Star Wars figure collector would not want to add this figure to their collection if they're still buying one of everything, because it's significantly different than the previous one in appearance, and it looks pretty gnarly. So if you have the means, I highly recommend picking one up. Again, it's in the Wave 9 Revision 1 case at Entertainment Earth, which is going to duplicate as our ad this week. It's a great wave overall. The extra figures in it are clone troopers or other figures, depending on which version you get. And I'm really happy to see that these came out. I hope to see another wave just like it with more Ewoks and more Jabba's Palace aliens in about a year. So great job, Hasbro. That's it. I've been Adam Paulus. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/EntEarth, E-N-T-E-A-R-T-H. Or you can read all about everything on the blog at blog.entertainmentearth.com. I will see you all next time. Okay, you're still there? Great. Also this week, I got a Toys R Us exclusive TIE Interceptor. Like all modern era TIE Interceptors from Hasbro, Toys R Us exclusive. These aren't sold anywhere else in the U.S. for some reason. But it's also obscenely expensive. It's $50. Well, it's not obscene, but it's a lot, because the previous ones were like $30 or $35. It has a brand new middle section. So every time they make a TIE Interceptor, they change just a little bit, but this one's changed pretty significantly. The wings are the same as the 2001 and 2007 versions, but the middle section is brand new. It has retractable laser cannons on either side of the canopy, a brand new cockpit that opens from the front to the back, like most vehicles do, with an ejector seat inside, and the interior of the cockpit is painted up with all these markings and letters and symbols. It doesn't look like anything else Hasbro's ever made. The plastic is very smooth. The look and feel is greatly improved over every other TIE fighter they've made, and it even has redone versions of the old ejector buttons for the wings. So what we're looking at is a complete overhaul of one of the most commonly used designs in Star Wars for the last three decades. I have to say, I very much like it. The figure included is a super articulated TIE fighter pilot with no special squad markings or frills. And, he has a holster, too. So it's really, really impressive. And it's really, really $50. So that is a pro or a con in your book. I don't know. Maybe in your area it's in the distant future and it's on sale. But, again, my opinions don't reflect those of anyone at this company. Not even mine. But it's a very nice vehicle. I like how it looks a lot. The coloring is this bluish-gray color, which I think is more in tune with the movie. And it's my favorite TIE Interceptor yet. It's also the most expensive. And if you go look on somewhere like eBay, the previous TIE Interceptors, including the one from 1984, can be had for, roughly the same price. So, happy hunting. It's a great addition to any fleet. I would love to have multiples of these hanging from fishing string on my ceiling. I don't know if I'll get to do that, but, man, this thing looks nice. And it's really fun to futz with, too. I mean, as stupid as it is, when you get a vehicle and you take it around the house and you look at it, you have it in your living room, you're looking at it, and you put it away, and you're holding it in your hand, and you're going up the stairs. You can't help but get that feeling when you were a kid of when you were flying it around the neighborhood with your other friends. That's what I got with this stupid thing. There's no electronic lights or sounds, and the ejector seat doesn't really eject, which is really a shame. I was hoping it would. But it's just a neat, well-designed craft, and it's fun to hold it in your hand and move it around and put it back on the shelf, and it's nice. So I'm rambling. See you guys next time.